The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
It's often misunderstood as excessive vanity, but in fact experts say that it's the polar opposite. Body dysmorphic disorder, BDD, it's a serious psychiatric condition that causes torment for the sufferer. It affects a small percentage of people, mostly young adults, but that figure is growing, experts believe. So recently we heard from cosmetic surgeon Peter Prendergast on the programme last week. He told us about the rise in young women undergoing procedures. Well, Colette Cairns is a senior cognitive behavioural therapist at St Patrick's Mental Health Hospital in Dublin, and she's here today to explain to us the ugly side, if you like, of the pursuit of beauty. Is that what it is? Is that what BDD, sorry, is that what the result of people who feel they have BDD is?
You're absolutely right there, Dave. BDD is the complete opposite to vanity. It is an anxiety-based disorder, which, as you say, is a significant mental health. It affects 1 in 100 of the population. So although it is a small number, it is quite significant. And it has a huge impact on people's lives.
Okay, so it's as real as be damned, right? Mm-hmm. Is it treatable?
It is treatable. Cognitive behaviour therapy is a psychological treatment of choice, and outcomes are good when someone is in treatment, but it is a long-term condition that will maybe happen again at some stage. So in CBT, we're giving people self-help skills to manage that if that happens again.
Okay, and by the way, if anybody has any kind of, if you like, concerns along these lines, then 51551 is our text. So what causes it? Is it, I presume it's quite a lot of things, and you're not talking vanity necessarily at all here. But I would assume that social media world that we live in now is doubling sort of patience or whatever, is it?
I think you're right. I think there is a bit much more focus on physical appearance, and particularly for younger people. I know from your show last week, a high proportion of 15 to 24 year olds will take selfies, and that might be for 5 hours in a week. That's a huge amount of time involved in that. So I think the focus on appearance has increased, I suppose, BDD incidents. I guess what's really important to say, though, body dysmorphic disorder would be an anxiety disorder where people find it very difficult to talk about. There's lots of shame, lots of guilt, lots of embarrassment. So people might be experiencing this but not coming forward for help because they're ashamed.
And not coming forward for help, a lot of people, I would assume, don't even notice it. I mean, like, onlookers frequently are perplexed because they can see nothing out of the ordinary, but it does cause devastating distress and interferes with the ability to function socially. Like, in other words, it's like, I don't see it, say, but somebody else has it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's because someone keeps that to themselves. People around the person might see it, that there might be unusual behaviours where someone's checking a lot within the mirror, or they might be wearing clothes to hide a certain body part. But we must remember that there's high levels of distress that someone's experiencing here. And the thoughts are that a physical part of them is distorted. And to them, they will have thoughts or underlying beliefs. I'm ugly, I'm unattractive, I'm hideous. So it has a huge impact on someone's life.
And when you're saying body parts, it could be any part of the body, but in particular, I presume 75-80% it's the face.
It's a large proportion is the face, and usually it's the nose, hair and skin, but it can be eyes or any other part of the face, but it can be other bodily parts as well. So it can be tummy, legs, arms, even private parts.
Okay, it should be noted, like, that this is a debility, like it's kind of a disabling preoccupation, if you like, with perceived defects or flaws in appearance. It's perceived, like, people are wrong, basically.
Yeah, it's imagined defects in slight or imagined flaws.
And this is huge, is it? I mean, this is like, you've come across a lot of people. How many would you say? Could you give a percentage? Would it be 1 in something?
Well, 1 in 100 of the general population would have that. In terms of referrals, I think sometimes people take a long time to come for treatment, but we would have referrals regularly to the CBT department at St Patrick's Mental Health Services, and there people have good outcome. I guess what's really important to say, to meet criteria for body dysmorphic disorder, someone needs to have those distressing thoughts about physical parts for over an hour a day. But research has shown us that people are preoccupied with those thoughts between 3 and 8 hours every day, or sometimes constantly.
And what does preoccupation mean in this context? Is it standing in front of a mirror mirror, or actually for 8 hours or 5 hours, or avoiding that very mirror?
It can be both. I guess the preoccupation is around the distressing thoughts. So yeah, a person might be thinking, my nose is 4 inches long, my ears are bigger than my face. And that person then has behaviours that will maybe keep that thought going. So understandably, when someone's very concerned about their physical appearance, they're going to check in the mirror. We have people who might check hundreds of times a day, or someone who might stand constantly in front of the mirror, whereas another person might avoid mirrors or any reflective surfaces at all in case they see their face or that part that they don't want to see.
And anybody who says it's excessive vanity doesn't get it?
Absolutely not. Vanity is when someone's happy with their appearance. BDD is at the complete opposite end of the spectrum. It is that person is valuing themselves on their physical appearance. And I guess that's the really central part, is that the person's value that they see in themselves is that they have to look 100% perfect in appearance.
But surely loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of people value themselves on their physical appearance who have this or don't have this.
Yeah, but I guess what's important here is that it's the level of distress that someone feels and that it consumes their life. So someone might have interference with their work life, home life, social life, relationships.
Well, hold on a second. I don't want to put any of my friends on the spot here necessarily, but I will say this, which is there's a very strange sound in the studio. It's fantastic. That sound like at the bottom of a well. Mm. I will say this, and that is that I know like a bunch of my friends just hate getting their picture taken. With a lot of people who, I'm not saying they are, but with a lot of people who hate getting the picture taken, is there any way at all that that's a sign?
Well, that would be a sign that that person is aware of appearance, and it may not necessarily mean they have BDD.
No.
But I guess what is important is, you know, in terms of treatment with someone with BDD, we would be looking at taking photographs, using video, you know, and what we're doing there is we're encouraging someone to be open to the fact that these thoughts are not true, but also changing those behaviours that might be keeping the distress and thoughts going.
You know, eating disorders and other stuff like that, like they involve a concern with body image, if you like. So
yeah.
Does BDD share features with eating disorders and obsessive compulsive disorder?
There certainly is an overlap there. There are similarities there. With eating disorder, it is about body weight and body image, whereas with BDD, it's specific parts of the body. So it is different. It is different. But as you say, there is an overlap with BDD and OCD, where there will be obsessional thinking. And in OCD also, people are engaged in behaviours to help anxiety and the thoughts reduce down. And temporarily for someone with OCD, that does happen. Whereas with BDD, someone is engaged in behaviours where they're checking in the mirror 100 times a day, and those behaviours don't improve distress. So right. Although there are similarities with OCD, there are very clear differences there also.
Okay, so it's not just about thinking you're fat when you're thin or none of those kind of things, no?
No, well, I think if that's the thought, that would meet criteria for an eating disorder rather than body dysmorphic disorder.
Okay, so how do you treat it?
CBT is a psychological treatment of choice. In severe presentations, there might be a combination of CBT and medication. CBT involves working on understanding that cycle, that when someone has a thought about a physical part of them.
Yeah, surely it's about coping skills to treat the disorder. Surely that's what you teach a lot of, I would imagine.
Yeah, CBT is about helping someone to manage the anxiety and distress that goes with BDD. So we're looking at the cycle that happens between the thoughts, the distress and the behaviours, and we're trying to encourage someone to make change with that. So the change will be reducing those behaviours down that are around checking or comparing self to others or other behaviours that might be geared to making that part of them better. An example of that might be someone who goes for appointments to dermatology or to cosmetic surgeons. And there we'd be looking at encouraging someone to resist that urge about, you know, going forward for cosmetic surgery. We're also working on those thoughts and encouraging someone to be open to thinking those thoughts aren't true, and working in a cognitive way on those thoughts.
Okay, well, a couple of 51551s here. When I was growing up, if someone produced a camera, all kids and teenagers would dive in front of it. Produce a camera without warning now, and most females of all ages turn away. And just in case you're thinking, wait, that could be a bit strong. I am a teacher and I see this all the time, says Pat.
Mm. Yeah, and that goes back to your question earlier about the photograph. And I would say if that's there with other behaviours, you know, it might be about considering, could this
teachers
be
would see a lot, wouldn't they, in the course of a day from 9 to 4 a.m. I'm in my 60s and I've had this all my life. It's to do with my facial expression, mostly of a huge mirror. It's to do with my facial expression mostly. I have a huge mirror in the house and have to look in it for ages before I go out. Anxiety is very painful. God, this is all in B4 and VP and painful. It's very difficult.
And that's heartbreaking hearing those stories.
It is.
I guess what we would say about CBT is that it's useful for all age groups. So even if someone is older, that it might be worth considering CBT.
Okay, but obviously loads of cases go unrecognised. People don't necessarily want to talk about it as such. They go unnoticed. Can it be prevented?
I think in terms of looking at what might be the experiences people have had in the past.
But like, can you get somebody early in their teens? Start now.
Yeah. Well, when we look at a sample of BDD, we find out that many times people have had the experience of being teased or bullied about that part of their physical appearance. Or it may well be within experiences within family. There is a lot of focus on physical appearance. That might be negative focus, but it also might be positive focus within families. If there's a lot of commenting on people looking well, someone can sort of have that belief that appearance is important. So there we might be looking at if bullying has happened, working at that when someone's experienced that, but also, you know, in terms of families maybe encouraging not to comment with the critical comments, but also, you know, maybe not to have a huge focus on appearance.
Okay, well, Colette Cairn, Senior Cognitive Behavioural Therapist at St Patrick's Mental Health Hospital in Dublin, thanks a million for talking to us today. And as with most anxieties disorders, a big breakthrough is just talking to someone about how you're feeling. Go to your GP who will refer you for counselling.